Okay, Sunday night, we're in the Lady Shear, and we're learning Shaar Avodas Elokim. And we're up to a very logical totsa'ah of his whole thesis about Avodas Hashem. And that is, it's a little scary also. He says that if a person feels that Hashem has been especially good to him, but whatever the case may be, everybody has their own personal life, and they know what happens. A child is born, a child gets married, you avoid the economic downturn of the economy, you had a good year, a person feels it. You know, a lot of the things we talk about, bitachon on Wednesdays, and you know, people ask like intellectual questions, but the truth is, as you experience life, you really have the answers right there in front of you. A person feels Hashem has been very good to me, like more than the norm, more than I deserve. We always think, unfortunately, that's whether that's good or bad is a discussion in itself. It has to do with low self-esteem, or it has to do with we're never sure of ourselves. It could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. It really depends on the context, what it does to a person's psyche. If it makes them down, or if it just keeps you on the edge, like you don't take things for granted. All right, anyway. So he says when a person feels that way, since the whole Avodas Hashem is based on Hakaras HaTov and gratitude, so if you feel especially blessed, you have to respond in kind. You have to, so to speak, reciprocate. You're not really reciprocating, of course, but if you don't, this is where we left off last time. He says an amazing thing. He says, Umisha Mekatzer Ba'avoda, someone who doesn't respond in this way, so it is missing the physics is missing, right? You know, action and reaction. So he's breaking the second law of spiritual thermodynamics, whatever it's called, right? He's getting tov and he's not responding. So then there's no guarantee, and the Chavis Avoda says he's suspect that he'll lose his Hakaras HaTov for the more basic things. In other words, if I don't thank Hashem, oh, I had a child, my child got married, it all worked out, he found a shidduch, he got married, wow, Baruch Hashem. If I don't respond to that, then you can't say, you know, what do I have to increase my Avodas Hashem for? Because of thanks. I'm no worse than the fellow, the other fellow. You know, I'll be like the other fellow. Like, he says, you can't. Then you slip back, because once you're kafui tov, this is what it says by Pyro. Once you've broken that link, once you haven't responded in the natural way that Hashem demands of human beings. Remember, this is not talking from kite. When he talks in his psicha, we spend so much time in the psicha talking about gratitude. He was talking how the human being is wired to be makir tov when people do things for him. We gave examples. Someone would save your life, would save your child's life. Think how you would feel for them the rest of your life. So if you don't respond in kind, then you're going to you're going to ratchet down to the next level. Then you won't respond. Your heart will become like hardened. That's what happened to Paro. Right? You'll get a hard heart. And you won't respond about the fact that Hashem, you live in Eretz Yisrael. You won't feel anything special about that. And you won't feel anything that Hashem allows you to parnosa, and you sink. Someone who falls short of their avodas Hashem, despite that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed a special tova on him or her, yigrom lo, this will cause lekatzer b'meshe yuchta bo mishpachto. In his marshal, he says, a kohen, because that's what the example he gave. Like the kohen will not feel a special akoras atov that he works in the Beis Hamikdash. that his family was singled out to be Obed Hashem, so he won't feel like responding necessarily to that. And then he won't feel that he has to respond anything special to the fact that Hashem chose the Jewish people and gave them a Torah, right? And then the next thing is life, right? You have to thank Hashem that's totally universal. L'chol bo'eolam, that Hashem gave us life and allows us to exist, gave us existence. V'chikach b'meh sheyuchad bo'amo v'yonichas ha-Torah v'chim yishenem ha-Kabbalas ha-Torah. The next movement in his downward slide will be einem ha-Kabbal chiyuvei ha-Sichlius. T'chavis al-Vavis sets up, he feels that the mitzvos b'nei Noach, the mitzvos that a non-Jew has to keep, is in gratitude for the universalistic tovos that Hashem gives everyone. Life, the ability to breathe, to digest food, those things create mitzvah sichlius. There's no Torah, so it's the common sense mitzvahs where we acknowledge Hashem. You know, like Mark Twain said, well, common sense is not so common. But that's what's supposed to be. That you have universalistic tovos, and that's the mitzvos b'nei Noach come as a feeling of that. Then Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and made us special and gave us the Torah, so we're going to do Taryag mitzvos. Then the Kohanim have more, right? And so on and so forth. And once he goes in this downhill, in this downward slide, but it all starts, it's like, this is a psychological truth he's saying. And we may deny it, but we deny it at our own risk. Because he's saying it's a psychological truth. If you don't respond properly to the special Tova Hashem grants you, you're already you're in denial mode. That's what a psychiatrist would say. You don't want to humble yourself. You don't want to, right? Remember, the Chavis Halvavis related this feeling of gratitude to hachno'a, to a feeling of submissiveness. We owe Hashem for what we have. So once you start denying, you shouldn't think you could turn it on and off like a spigot. You know, I don't have to do anything. Hashem gave me, you know, a good year. I earned money. I put some aside. It worked out. But I still thank him for. So he says, no, once you're in denial, then you tend to slip down, 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 up to the point where you deny Hashem. You deny your basic gratitude for being alive, and you're not even ready to do the more seichel oriented mitzvahs, which the Chavis Halvavis holds is makbil to the universalistic tovos of life and the ability to breathe and to eat and to digest and to look at the stars and right, all these things which are common to all Ba'i Olam demand the gratitude of the human race in don't steal, be a mensch, acknowledge Hashem, don't do Avodah Zarah. Right, he looks at them as mitzvah sichlius. He looks at the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach as basic, you know, sichliustic ways of saying thank you to Hashem. First and foremost is among the mitzvahs b'nei Noach is also acknowledgement of Hashem. So that's what he says. Is it could be, you know, what we see nowadays. I mean, is the again, I go back to the 60s, which made such a revolution in society, and I was exactly the right age to be aware and to see what's happening and to have fun. People became very, very selfish. People became extremely self-centered and very selfish, and it became the me generation, I think they called it in the 80s, I think, and everything like spun out of control. Everybody was out for himself, and they stopped doing the mitzvah sichlius. That's why human behavior became tznius and the things that with drugs and it became we lived through the Chayes Halvavos. Maybe Reagan put it back on a good track. No, not even.
AIDS.
What?
AIDS did. AIDS.
Halavai. I wish it were true.
It hasn't done anything.
Anyway, so that's what he says. He says you're in a downhill slide and you become worse than an animal. And that's the omek of what the Navi says. We're at the end of Paragimel now. Yoda Shor Kone Yul Vachamore. You look at this pasuk now that I think many of us know, but thanks to the Chayes Halavos, we look at it with new understanding. The pasuk says, again, the last two lines of Paragimel. Yoda shor konehu v'chamorei vuzba. Allah, the donkey knows, the ox knows who feeds it. You have that basic structure of obedience because he knows where his next meal is coming from. He's not going to be foolish enough to kick the owner. The owner, he knows that much. The animal knows that the owner is giving him food. But Yisrael is worse. Yisrael lo yoda amilo hisbonon. So, you know, you read the pasuk, you're aware of the pasuk, it's like a famous, very famous pasuk. We read it in Shabbos Chazon, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. But now, thanks to the Chayes Halavos, it takes on a whole new meaning. Now, I understand what he's saying. He's saying that if Klal Yisrael starts to slide in their Avodas Hashem, so they're going to end up not even having the Hakaras HaTov and the gratitude of an animal. Right, they're going to slip to below that level. They won't even have. He says that you'll lose that special impetus for extra avodas Hashem. You'll lose the impetus for how if you're kohen or a levi, then you'll use your tam and cheshek in mitzvahs, and then you'll lose even the basic humanity, which is supposed to be your response to your life and the basic things that Hashem gives you, and you'll end up being worse than an animal who has at least that bottom line level of Akaras HaTov, and people don't even know that. The year Darko Kederach Mishenemer Olav Ki Rishon Yovedu Chas V'Shalom Voivei Hashem Ki Kar Korim Kalu V'Hashem Kalu. So, you know, you read this, you read Chayes Halavos, you really, I walk away from this Chayes Halavos like it's, you know, really the whole thing that we're learning from the psicha, but here he says it in such a fundamental way. He says that, you know, this is one of the, if I was writing a parenting book, you know, we teach our kids a lot of things, but if we take the Chayes Halavos seriously, and I recommend that we do, we really would teach our kids the basic menschlichkeit of Hakaras HaTov. You know, and they should say thank you to Hashem, thank you to Mommy for giving them the meal. They should. There's nothing wrong with teaching a kid after a meal, you say thank you. Thank you, Mommy, for making the meal. Thank you for serving me. You know, right? They should say thank you. So in the beginning they won't mean it, but you talk to them. We should really, according to the Chayes Halavos, this is such an important midah to inculcate in our children. Now, the best is if we're role models. So if they see the parents talking to each other in an open of gratitude and not taking things for granted, and thank you for this, and can I do this for you? Thank you so much, and express your gratitude. And then they see the parents thank gratitude towards Hashem, and that's really the best way of teaching. Is just by being a role model. And the kids pick up. The kids pick up everything. The beard they for sure pick up. So hopefully they pick up the good also. Okay, let's move on to Perek Dalet. Now, I mean, this is Shara Avodas Hashem, Shara Avodas Elokim. So the psicha was the psicha, and then he talked about the struggle of man and Ha'ara Sichlis and Ha'ara Toronis, and he talked about the superiority of the goal. The goal is to leave off the rich, not to leave off Chas V'Shalom. The goal is to rise above the ritual and to connect with the soul of the mitzvah. And that's because you're functioning on a seichel level. The ritual is good. You know, we learned all the reasons why ritual is important, the seven reasons. Perek Dalet says, and now he's going to elaborate really on Ha'orah Toronis. Why? He's going to dissect the Torah. The reason is because L'maisa today we have the Torah. If you would ask the Chovas Halvavas, we're not living in Avraham Avinu age. I don't think he expects an Avraham Avinu approach to Hashem. I think he would agree it's too much to ask of people. What we have to do, and I mentioned this in Shul, we should use the Torah. Now that Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai, and this is now the stepping stone, but we could be sure, and we could be confident, and it is that way, that the Torah, the ritual, contains the values that we want to reach. Maybe theoretically we could jettison the ritual and go to a cave and do what Avraham Avinu did. First of all, we won't do it, he says, because he gave seven reasons why the rituals are essential. But more than that, and that was what we will learn now in the coming perek. Now that Hashem gave us the Torah, you can be sure that he gave us the ritual which contains in it, those rituals are the best vehicles to attain Ha'orah Sichlus, to attain a relationship with Hashem through these rituals. And Hashem is very smart, and Hashem knows how to do it. What do we do? So he says, have a mezuzah on your door. So that's the ritual. But learn about mezuzah. There's so many books out there today. I'm not talking about the halachas. Halachas, leave for your husbands or for the rabbi. But learn about, there's so many books out there that talk about what it is and how it relates to the bias. I always think of mezuzah as the woman's tefillin, because the mezuzah is on the bias and the woman is the bias. And it's like so chalvus halvavasi. Whereas a man puts on tefillin for 40 minutes a day, tops, and he's taking it off before you can say good morning, and he's running out of shul to catch the bus. Mezuzah's on there 24/7, right? Tefillin's not on a man 24/7. And it was, so what does mezuzah do with the woman and the chanami? It's a man's obligation too, but it is connected to the bias. Say, where do I put my tefillin? I put it on my hand and my head. Where do I put my mezuzah? My mezuzah is on the bias. And we all know that the bias is the Isha. She's in charge of the bias. She's called the bias. She's in charge of the bias. This is her domain. So I always think of it like, that's her tefillin, is that mezuzah. That when you walk into the house, and when you walk into every room, when you walk into the house, the house should be a house that declares Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. As it is, most people, they associate the mezuzah with Hashem is watching over us. That's nice. Maybe it's even true. It's the mezuzah. But that's not what the mitzvah is. It's really not. It's unfortunate. It certainly has that inyan in it. But that's not primarily what it is. It's like missing the point. The mezuzah is like tefillin. It's a declaration that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem, declaration of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You have the two parshios of Kriyat Shema in there. That's Schar Ba'onesh and Hashem Echad, and the Torah, Kriyat Shema. Like that's. So it's a pity, so we have to learn. So we're going to see in Perek Daled, the ritual become, Hashem chose that now. That's how we have to look at it. Hashem chose these rituals to be the vehicle of our rising above the rituals and relating to the inner value, to the meaning, to the connection to Hashem. Once we do that, we're not limited to mezuzah anymore. See, that's the hope. Once I extract from matzah what I would like to extract, then I'm not limited to the matzah anymore. You see, I use the matzah to attain a certain insight into Avodas Hashem, to attain a certain height, to attain a certain understanding of Hashem, to attain a certain relationship with Hashem. And then then I'm flying in Ha'ara Sichlis. I'm not bound to Matz anymore. I'm free from Pesach night. I don't have to worry about Chatzos. I don't have to worry about Shmura Matzah anymore. I'm free. I could fly. No, the truth is it wears off and it doesn't work, which gets us back to the essentiality of the ritual, and that's why we have to do this every single year. Every year we have to eat the matzah again, we have to have the seder again, we have to have CPT time again, because we need that injection. We need the injection of the ritual through which all of these things are channeled, and halavai they should be channeled. That's why in shul I recommended the Sefer, the Tayag Mitzvahs Project Sefer. Truth is, most of 80% of it is good old fashioned learning and dinim and even pilpulim about the mitzvah. It's done very, very well. But that section in each mitzvah, which he calls Tuv Ta'am, from the pasuk Tuv Ta'am Vadas Lamadeni, even mitzvah Secha Hemanti, I think. Yes. So Tuv Ta'am, that section is priceless. Because he goes through every mitzvah and he brings down your basic sources for the value and idea and bonding and what the mitzvah is supposed to do. It's a huge sefer. It probably costs a lot of money. I know volume one. I don't know how far they got. The guy went bankrupt, the shtickle. There's a whole story. I know the fella that thought of the idea. He's from Philadelphia. He lived right near Philadelphia Yeshiva. I babysat for him. When I was in Philadelphia Yeshiva, I became friends with a balabos there. I used to learn Mishnah Berurah with him every morning. Balabos. That balabos had three children, and I became friendly with him, and I used to babysit for his children. His name was Wax from Philadelphia. One of those children grew up and thought of this Tayag Mitzvahs project. He ran into a lot of trouble with financial backing. I don't think he ever finished it. But he made it into cards, and Torah Masorah bought into it, and they gave it out in the schools. I know my sister was a principal in Brooklyn in a Beis Yaakov, an elementary school, for 20, 30, 40, I don't know how many years. She said, it's great. I mean, the kids love it. The cards are done well. It's really a great thing. I love it because just this... It's not most of the book. The most of the book is the basic dinim. I mean, it's great learning. I mean, you sit by a yontif. So the first volume is mitzvah 1 to 24. Puravu to 24. But that takes you past all the Pesach mitzvahs. That's 1 to 24. 24. That takes you basically up to the Aseres Adibros. Right? The Bracious. Three in Bracious. And then you have Bo. Bo has Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim is mitzvah 21, I believe. Then you have Kiddush Bechoros 22, and then Tchum Shabbos is Beshalach, like 24. I think that's where it stops, 24. So you have all the mitzvahs of the Korban Pesach, and not to eat it raw, and not to eat it cooked, and not to let an orel eat from the Korban Pesach, and not to take from all this Korban Pesach, and eating matzah, and bal yiroh, and bal yimotzeh, and Pesach, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is number 21, and it's just the tuv tam. First of all, it's good learning. You know, a lot of times I tell the men, I don't know what to learn on Yom Tov. Like, what should I learn? You're supposed to learn about the Yom Tov on Yom Tov. What should I learn? I don't know what to learn. Now you take this sefer. It's great. You could learn the basic dinim of every mitzvah. It's chosen. It's excellent choices. Then he has a halacha section, and then he has a pilpul section, and he has a... It's done very, very well. Like, each mitzvah has like 8 sections. One section is called Tuv Tam, and that's just like... Really, it's a must. That's what we're talking about. Like, what is the mitzvah supposed to do to me? How does it make me a better person, a better Jew, more connected to Hashem? What is the idea behind the mitzvah? Why does Hashem care if I eat the Korban Pesach, if it's roasted or cooked? I mean, really, is he a gourmet chef all of a sudden? And he wants me to have roast meat. Like, well, what's it all about? So it's really it's in English also. I'm not quite sure. By the way, just I don't know what he did. He saw he wouldn't finish the project. He did everything. There's a volume of Ben Odom HaChavero mitzvahs. He took, I'm not sure what he did. There's one volume called Mitzvahs Ben Odom HaChavero. Again, the whole thing is a Renert thing, Ira Renert. And it's called the Tayag Mitzvahs Project. In Hebrew, it's Tayag Mitzvahs HaShalem. Big safe, a fat safe, very, you know, it's beautiful. Like, you know, but I don't know what happened. But he has a Ben Odom HaChavero section, which is mamish. I mean, the demim are invaluable. And then there also you have the idea behind the mitzvah. You have the inner value of it. It's not... Okay, that's
you
just.
Did it here in Israel?
I don't even know. I assume by Shanky or by Manny's now. You know Manny ever? Or Manny's?
Someone Michael Rose in the Shemeshville.
Yeah,
Jewish.
If you're ever in Yerushalayim, there's a huge store. Manny's was a big sorum store on 15 Mayor Sharim. They just moved a half a block away from 15 Mayor Sharim. And it's like three times the size it used to be. It's for sure the biggest sorum store. In Eretz Yisrael, I mean, it's bigger than Eichler. You've been in Eichler in Borough Park. It's like it's bigger than Eichler, and he has a huge English section. Huge. He just moved. He's in the middle of moving. He moved like a week ago, and he's still putting himself together. It's called Manny's, M-A-N-N-Y-S. But Shanky's is a very big store. Shanky's right near Shef HaShuk in Yerushalayim. Shanky's is a huge store.
There's someone who delivers to your house, and they
have Michael Rose. And he's a funny guy, Shanky. So he's good to know. Anyway, you have the. I'm sure they have it. And there's an English translation. I don't know. You have to call up for it. Don't take my word for it.
I'm just. What's the name of the sefer?
Tayag Mitzvahs Project or Tayag Mitzvahs HaSholem. It's the Renert edition. Like, they all know what you're talking about. By wax. The Renert edition of the Tayag Mitzvahs Project book. It has more than you want, I think, because there's a lot of like Torah in there. I don't know. You know. I recommend it to the men. I mean, like I said, come Pesach, you know, you don't know what to learn. You take the sefer and you go through the sefer, the mitzvahs of Pesach. It'll last you a week for sure, and you really get into the yontif. You know, it's like you feel it's a whole different yontif when you view it through the prism of the Torah. Of the mitzvahs of what you're supposed to do and what it's supposed to do to you. It's really, I recommend it highly. I never saw such a good collection. You know, that's nowadays, that's what Sfarim are. Most Sfarim nowadays are Reader's Digest style. Reader's Digest, they take articles from all over and they condense them. And they give it to you, the reader. It was an Eluya Shechat. It started in the 1920s. It was Ga'inus, the Reader's Digest. The idea. But that's what most forum nowadays are Reader's Digest, I call them. I say it a little derisively, but it's good, because people need it. People need a Reader's Digest, because you don't have time to read the thousands of magazines. So they say, we're going to pick you out the good articles that are worthwhile. Nowadays I think it became like it lost. It used to be very tsunua, very. Now it became bad. I don't want to see it lately. It used to be in every Jewish home's bathroom. Like, oh, we have Reader's Digest. Like, okay. If you ever want a good safer, I want to recommend a safer. I mean, if you ever don't have what to do with your money. There's this, people don't know about this. I find it really, it's a remarkable, remarkable safe. I wonder if they sell it still. If the author's alive and by it began, the name of the safe is Aspaklaria. It's an encyclopedia of Jewish philosophy. And it's Reader's Digest style. It's from Aleph to Tav. Pick a topic. And he takes you from the Pasuk in Chumash down to the Michtav Maliyahu. I don't think he gets the Shira smiles. I think like Michtav Maliyahu is as far as he goes. and he has like excerpts. It's like real Reader's Digest. Like this is like Reader's Digest condensed books, where he mamish takes excerpts from, and everybody, from the pasuk down to Michel Melio and everybody along the way. We're talking 31 volumes, and it's not cheap. I, Baruch Hashem, have the whole set. It's a remarkable work. It's an encyclopedia of Jewish thought. It's in Hebrew, and it's, you know, it's people and philosophical concepts. It's not Torah. You're not going to find the word Geneva. You're not going to find in there. But you'll find Shabbos. You'll find Schar Va'onesh. You know. Okay. Nobody has time to read anything. We need to make a massive Reader's Digest of all the Reader's Digests. I think I saw in a Sfarim store in a year ago. This was like so typical. I didn't know if I should laugh or cry. So we have the Chodesh Halvavos, right? So it was written in Arabic, and then it was translated into Hebrew by Ibn Tibbon. We'll take the classic translation, Ibn Tibbon. And then you have the Lev Tov came along, because it's very hard to learn. It's a hard Hebrew. The Ibn Tibbon is not easy. That's why Rav Kapach made a new translation from the original Arabic. He made a translation into more modern Ivrit. That's what I use in the shul. When I learn with the men every night, we use Rav Kapach's edition of Chodesh Halvavos. So you have the Lev Tov. So the Lev Tov is like a restatement of the Chodesh Halvavos. It's like you can read it, right? So you read it, and it's, he says it in more Talmudic Hebrew, not Ivrit. It's not Ivrit. It's Rav Kapach is Ivrit. This is more like regular Hebrew, like a sefer, like a sefer, because the material is very odd. And he paraphrases every. He's paraphrasing the translation of Ibn Tibbon, right? So what did I see a year ago in a store? Kitzer Lev Tov. That means people obviously find the Lev Tov too hard to learn. Now the Lev Tov is too hard. And I saw Chodesh Halvavos im Kitzer Lev Tov. That means someone condensed. Where's it going to all end? Someone took the restatement of the Chodesh Halvavos' translation, which is the Lev Tov. Who was Nifter back a year ago? The Lev Tov. He just was Nifter. By the way, if you ever want to learn Ramban on Chumash, well, now we have the whole lot scroll. It's finished. But the Lev Tov did the same thing to Ramban on Chumash. You can buy I think it's called Pnei Yerushalayim. Lev Yerushalayim. Lev Yerushalayim, I'm pretty sure I'm almost positive it's called. And he did the same thing. He rewrote the Ramban in his own words with a more flowing, easy Hebrew. So you have the Ramban on top and the Lev Yerushalayim on the bottom, like he did in Chodesh Halvavos. Really, it's a good piece of work. Art Scroll just finished an hour ago the final volume of the English Ramban. We just finished Vayikra. So now we use the Lev Tov a lot. Lev Yerushalayim a lot. It was very helpful. There's a lot of Sfarim on Ramban on Chumash. And now there's another one. It already has Brachos, Shmos, Bamidbar, Dvarim. Now we just finished Vayikra. I'm making a Siyum. I don't know if I'm making a Siyum. I wasn't that involved in the project, in the Ramban. But a little. I had a little to do with it. Tonight they put me to work. Vayikra. They got to be in the stores by Thursday. They're printing tomorrow. You know, they don't... real yeshivish company. Okay, so I really went off track. I'm sorry, but we look for these things because I always tell people to learn chinuch. But this sefer is like it's the chinuch and the Ramban and Rabbi Chaya and Abarbanel and Mal. Like he brings the whole. But it's short. It's not. It's Reader's Digest. It really is. It's like really. It's not like learning. But he has where it is. I mean, if it's women are not don't have time to learn, and it's not your obligation to learn. But if want to encourage something, and the Marmakomos are all there, and you could look up the source, and then, you know, the source is much more expansive and much more elaborate and much more penetrating and much deeper, much more encompassing. This is far to only Reader's Digest. It's like in a few short sentences, a few lines, let's say in 20 lines, we'll say over a whole major league thought. Okay, so Perek Dalet says, let's delve into Ha'ora Toronis, because Ha'ora Toronis really is now what we have to extrapolate the Ha'ora Sichlis. For Roy Lono Levar Tzuras Ha'ora Toria V'chelke HaTorah U'maylo Sanche HaChochma, to see how to learn Torah, how to understand it, U'tchunosom V'emunosom Bo V'kabalosom Osa, how people relate to the Torah. The Omar, and I will say, so he's like, so the love is like starts from the beginning. Ha'ora Toria is Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. It starts with that. The Torah is a nevuah, chazon me'es alukim adi da'yish b'nei adam, to a regular person, a human, b'meshu tov b'einov mehem me'avodoso, what I want you to do. My rotzon is that you do these things. L'gomlom, to give them schar al kabalosa, k'mul b'olam hazeh u'v'olam haba, chesed u'nadova v'tova, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a chesed. He doesn't owe us anything, because he doesn't need us to keep the Torah. We're not doing it for him, but he has to pay us. Okay. The Torah cholekas ma'isa b'nei adam l'shlosha chalokim. The Torah splits up your life into three parts. Sivui, things that you must do. The azhara, on things that you're not allowed to do. And mutter, things that a mutter to do, but they're neither you're not compelled to do it, you're not obligated to do it, but you're not warned against doing it. So shoots, it's optional. This is how he categorizes it here. As he now develops his ideas of serving Hashem more in detail, he will end up saying that there really is no such thing as something optional. This is like a major famous Chedus Halbavus. He starts off saying there's mitzvahs, averus, and optional things. He ends up saying nothing is really, we'll get up to the end of the coming weeks, Mitzvah Shah. Nothing is really, I just want to say it now, because I want you to realize he's going to make a shift. He's going to say nothing is really optional. Everything is either a step towards Hashem, or a step away from Hashem. Hashem is either pleased with what you're doing. It's not a question of obligation. An obligation, you could say there's three categories: obligated, forbidden, and optional. But at the end of the day, every single thing we do is either Hashem's will. Hashem is like not neutral. Yeah, you know, I don't want anything to do. You want to take a walk? Leave me alone. Leave me out of it, Hashem says. And take a walk if you want. Like, what do you want from me? No, he ends up saying that's not true. The walk, you have to think about everything you do. It's a shtickle heavy. What am I? You're taking a walk to relax? It's fine. It's like you're taking a nap. It's good. But you're supposed to take a nap so that you could serve Hashem better. That's, ideally, you're supposed to do everything with an eye towards it's for Hashem. It's to bring you closer to Hashem. It's to enable you to serve Hashem. Everything. There's no thing as. No such thing. The Tanya says the same thing. There's no such thing. You know, it's heavy, but that's life. There's no such thing as, okay, downtime. Okay, Hashem, downtime. See you later. I'm eating lunch now. What are you? Don't care. It's kosher. It's like you're not involved anymore. It's kosher. I'll even make a bracha. Throw you a bone. You know, it's kosher, and I'm making a bracha. Now leave me alone. No, there's no such thing. I mean, a good nutritionist, a frum, you can write a whole, the Chavis HaLava's diet. Chavis HaLava's diet will write in his introduction, what are you eating for? What are you eating for? You're eating to fill your stomach, you're eating to serve Hashem, so you have to eat healthy food. Like, does it make sense? You want to once in a while eat a tasty food and make a bracha and like thank Hashem for making this delicious 7-layer chocolate babka, chocolate mousse, whatever. Okay, that has its place also once in a while. But so really, so now he tzivui ashara umuter. But as he develops the idea of what it means, Ratzon Hashem, and there's nothing. Just as we would say Maloch al Oretz Kvodo, in Hasidic thought, it's expressed in Aramaic based on a Zohar. Less asar panui minei, says in Hasidic thought. Less asar panui minei means, in Hebrew, it's ein makom panui mehashem. There's no space that's empty of Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. We say, you know, Maloch al Oretz Kvodo. It's expressed Kabbalistically as less asar panui minei. That means Hashem is everywhere. So if Hashem is everywhere, he's in every action also. That's what I mean to say. So everything is either a step towards or a step away. Everything is either denial of Hashem, even if we're not consciously thinking that. But everything is either, you know, get out of my way, Hashem. Like I say, there's downtime. There's no downtime from Hashem. There's none. Just like there's no space empty of Hashem, so there's no time empty from Hashem. So there's no such thing as downtime. So everything you have to measure against Hashem's will, or your motives for doing it, your purpose in doing it. You're doing it to feel good. So sometimes, again, you know, we're very human, so there's nothing wrong with taking a walk. But the ideal is, yeah, I'm taking a walk, it's going to relax me. Maybe on your walk you could think about Hashem. If you learn Shara HaBechina, you could see things. That's already like tzidkis. Like that's just to relax is legitimate, but it's legitimate. It's anyway legitimate in the sense it's not an Aveira. But Chazal really is not happy with that. He says if you're doing it to for your own pleasure and there's no thought of Hashem in there, he doesn't want to call it an Aveira, but it's a step away. It's not really good. It's not Ratzon Hashem. The Tanya talks about it. We learned Tanya from the shul Thursday night. The Tanya speaks much more harshly about doing mutter things for the purpose of our own enjoyment and pleasure, which we think is so innocuous. And it is innocuous, but it's not good. It's not good. For our kids, it's good. You know, and we're happy. It's mutter. You know, thank God for small favors, but it's really not. That's not. You know, you mature and you say, you know, what am I doing this for? I'm wasting time. Time is time. Time will never come back. I mean, it's heavy. So, on one hand, it's funny. On one hand, it elevates everything we do. Because the most mundane things we do now say, okay, but I'm doing it because it's Hashem's will. So every action we do, no matter how mundane, becomes uplifted, and it becomes a mitzvah. It's not just bad things, it's good things. I'll sweep the floor, and it'll be, yeah, because Hashem wants me to. Oh, you're doing it because Hashem wants you to. You get a star. You're a star. You're doing Hashem's will. That's all I ever want from you. I want you to do my will. I want you to acknowledge me and do my will. That's all I ever want from you. That's what matzah, like, sweeping the floor becomes eating matzah. Same thing, so to speak. Right? It's the same ideal. That's Rabbi Solomon, the tailor. You know, he's like the Kohen Gadol and the Kachi Kachim. Okay, Mrs. Manrik's Yudah Poisek Achron. The Paskin about next week. You'll decide. My wife says, "What do you want from ladies, Zion Nissan? What do you want from them?" But I stand ready to come if you want, Mrs. Manrix. You'll Paskin. Not in front of me. It's not nice.